Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I'm your host, Jay, the number 215 forever. Follow your podcast page at Know Your Role Player _ podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast is to download the Anchor app. It's anchor.fm/ Know Your Role Player, whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or many, many more. You will get notifications like today's episode becomes available. All right, guys, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back. All right, so a couple of apologies. Supposed to have an earlier show this week, but couldn't get my recording studio. But we back. All right, we got a lot to talk about and not a lot of time, so I want to get a lot of things done. So let's start with the breaking news, the breaking news, the breaking news. Some of you might be surprised. Some of you might not be surprised. Frank Vogel has been fired. All right. I'm starting to really hate the NBA. And it's not, let me mince my words a little bit. I'm starting to really hate what happens to coaches in the NBA. Let's say that. Because it's like somebody's got to be the fall guy. Now, I want to start with this. Frank Vogel, for his career as a defensive coach, the Suns didn't play defense. So under that premise alone, if that is the premise, I can understand why you're firing him. Now, I said before that if you have a team with Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, you probably should be an offensive team. You know, it's kind of weird. They kind of weren't really an offensive team. Like, they had an ugly offense. Their offense was like pick and roll, mid-range shot, right? Durant and Beal, their volume for three-point shots was never good for me. You know, they should be shooting 8 to 10 three-pointers a game on open shots. The offense should be a little bit better. Again, maybe they hire Mike D'Antoni, but I think they should get an offensive coach because they're not playing no defense. And again, Frank Vogel is a historically good defensive coach who won a championship. And it's just so easy to, like, oh, you got to fire somebody. You got to fire somebody. First Darvin Ham and now Frank Vogel. Because the thing is, you can't fire the players. You can't fire Kevin Durant. You can't fire Devin Booker. And you can't fire Bradley Beal. You know, their owner made a splash move in trading for Kevin Durant. He got Bradley Beal. He wanted to make things happen. Matt Ishbia, he's very impatient. He wants to make things happen. He's got new owner syndrome, right? And in his new owner syndrome, he's like, yo, I got to make a move. I got to make a move. First thing he does after he comes in, they lose. They fire the head coach. Okay, let's get another head coach. We didn't like that guy. Let's get rid of the center. Whatever, fine moves, still doesn't work, right? Okay, let's fire the head coach again. There's no stability in Phoenix, right? And again, it all wasn't Frank Vogel's fault. I don't think that roster was good enough, right? You had one really good role player and the rest of your role players, right? So I don't know, man. I think James Jones' hands is tied a little bit because I think the direction that he wanted to go in and the direction that Matt Ishbia are two different things, right? So we'll see what happens. Couple things. Oh, this is crazy. So Vogel, who went 49-33, he got fired because of that record. Right now, again, off of principle alone, they didn't play defense. And he's a defensive coach, and that's why you let him go. I'm fine with it. Now, firing a coach 1 year into a 5-year, $31 million deal, you're eating a lot of cash. But hey, that cash doesn't go against the salary cap, right? He succeeded Monty Williams, who was fired after taking his team to the Western Conference Finals. So, yo, let me throw that in there too. After Monty got this team to the NBA Finals and the Western Conference Finals, fired. Okay, we get Frank Vogel, fired, new team. Yo, what do you want to do, dog? Prior to being swept, Vogel said he was very confident that he would return next season and that he had the full support of Ishbia. This is Vogel's fourth time as a head coach after stops with Los Angeles, Orlando, Indiana. He has a record of 479-422. Last thing real quick. The Suns enter the offseason with a 209 in salary, the biggest payroll of any team in the NBA, and they face a projection luxury tax of $116 million. Now, here's the thing. That number is fine if you win in the championship. You lost in the first round. So now, losing in the first round, having a veteran team, and not winning anything, a move has to be made. What better move than to throw the coach under the bus again? Hey, Matt Ishbia, but good job, buddy. So, I don't know. I feel whatever about it. I feel real whatever about it. I think he was the fall guy, but I do understand that they didn't play any defense. And if that is the reason, I'm fine with it. Before we get to the playoffs, I got one more story. I got to talk about Mr. Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley was on this nice little rise as a role player and as like a media personality. He was really kind of finding that niche to right at the end of his career. He had this smooth transition and, you know, he's got the podcast. He's doing good. I like Patrick Beverley. I do think he's a good person, but he makes some poor mistakes at the wrong time. He got suspended for 4 games without pay for throwing a basketball multiple times at fans and for a quote-unquote inappropriate interaction with ESPN producer Melinda Adams after Milwaukee's season-ending loss to the Indiana Pacers, right, in Game 6. So after the game, if you didn't see, this is old, she has a question. He kind of asks, do you follow the podcast? She kind of laughed and said no. He kind of pushes the microphone around. Either he didn't know who he was talking to, and they also said this isn't the first time he done this. Well, they got you, buddy. They got you in 4K, all right? So not the best moment for Patrick Beverley, who has a history of bad moments, right? And again, you know, you're not a prisoner of a past, but you are. Your past does help dictate your future if you do not make the necessary changes. And Patrick Beverley has some bad moments, man. He's got some bad moments, right? Pushing Chris Paul in the back, I thought was one of the most cowardly moves. I know Chris Paul gets under your skin. I know he probably said something slick. That was cowardly. This is cowardly. These are bad moves, all right? I understand that those fans probably called him words that he shouldn't have been called. And I've said before that fan behavior is one of the biggest issues in sports, which is what they're allowed to get away with, and fan entitlement, right? It's really bad. I understand that. Patrick says, I will be better. I have to be better. And I will be better. That should never happen. Regardless of what was said, that should never have happened. Simple as that. Patrick Beverley, folks. Beverley was on a minimum contract this year with the Sixers, and then the Bucks will be an unrestricted free agent. Woo! Not great. He'll get signed somewhere. I believe he'll get signed somewhere. He still's got something to give. He's getting a little older, but that wasn't a good move, man. Like I said, for a player that's towards the end of his career and is kind of starting to transition from player to media personality, you got to build relationships, man, and that is not good. Now, he did reach out and apologize to her, but like I said, you got to be better, man. That's just inexcusable, and be professional. Before basketball player, there's always a word I want to remind people, professional. Okay, more news and notes. Okay, so this was kind of the craziest thing I saw last night. I want to congratulate Nikola Jokic for winning the MVP, right? I want to congratulate him. I thought that SGA, my vote personally would have been for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but again, I'm fine with him winning. I don't have a problem with it. But I want to show y'all something, and I don't know if I can post it on here, but if I can post it somewhere. So the voting is one of my things that I always love to watch, right? I always love to watch because what the voting is like, it helps give me a perspective. It helps give me a perspective that I don't really see, and it's like, how close was it? So here you go. Nikola Jokic got 79 first-place votes. I thought that was absolutely insane, bro. I thought that was absolutely insane. He got 18 second-place votes, 2 third-place votes. He finishes with 926 total votes. SGA finishes with 640. Is that correct? So yes, 640, and he only got 15 first-place votes, 40 second-place votes, and 40 third-place votes. Luka Doncic only got 4 first-place votes, 36 second place votes, and 53rd place votes. He finishes with 566. And in fourth place is Giannis, and Brunson's in fifth place. So Shaq last night kind of tells Jokic to his face, like, yo, congratulations, but I thought SGA should have won the MVP. I don't think Shaq is wrong. I don't. But he's really bad at timing. So here's the thing. In life, everybody has a moment. And regardless how I feel, how Shaq feels, a big moment for Nikola Jokic is winning the MVP. This is one of the most prestigious awards that a player can win, right? And a player of his ilk, and it's a big deal, right? It is. It's a really big deal. And I just thought it was a little tasteless, is the word I want to use, that he chose that time to kind of get his, you know, his takeoff. Again, after they have the segment and Nikolai Jokic comes in, he can say, hey, you know what? Congratulations, me personally. I voted for SGA. I thought that's who should have won, you know, but it is what it is. I also, if I don't have a vote, but I voted for SGA to win Jokic 2 and Luka Doncic 3. I'm just surprised it wasn't that close. Oh, I want to have context for real quick. The Oklahoma City Thunder this season, having a good season, was to make the playoffs. Maybe a 6 or 7 seed. SGA was going to score his points. He was going to have a couple of game-winning shots. They'd be a 6 or 7 seed, and they grow as a team. They were the number one seed in the Western Conference. Time after time again, and game after game, SGA had clutch baskets. I think the end of the season, him not playing, hurt him a little bit. But apparently, it wasn't that close, right? And again, I think a lot of guys like Jokic. Now, let me be fair to Jokic. Jokic has been very consistent, and he is the Denver Nuggets, right? When you talk about what goes and why the Denver Nuggets go, it's all because of Jokic. He creates shots for others. He's a phenomenal rebounder. He's improved defensively. Talk about that later. He's improved defensively. Offensively, he's a hub. He can score inside and outside. He is a complete player. He really is, all right? He's a complete offensive player with no flaw in his game, and he is the counter to anything you try to do, right? And so off of that alone, I get it. I don't agree with it. I'm going to, again, I say I respectfully think SGA, and I would love to see. They showed the votes of the first and the second place. I would love to see who voted for what, right? Shaq did make one more interesting point where he said that former players that win MVP should have a vote. For right now, it's the media. They should have something. I mean, if I won an MVP, does my voice matter at all? It should. I don't know how it goes about who gets a vote, what's the determining criteria. You know, Shaq getting a vote, you know, I don't know. I do agree that some former players should get votes. It shouldn't just all be media. It should be a little bit of balance into it. But, again, congratulations to Nikola Jokic. At the same time, congratulations to Wembanyama! By far and away, the rookie of the year. I said this story before, I'll say it again. I saw him play Rudy Gobert at 16, one-on-one, and he actually killed him. He had dribble moves. He had post-ups. He had a fadeaway jump shot. He had a crossover. This is at 16, and I was like, yo, if he stays healthy, there's nobody that can do nothing with him. He's 13 times better than I can imagine. He's so much better than I can imagine. There is no ceiling on him. Just stay healthy and get better teammates around him. That's it. That's it, man. Early on in the season, it was a competition between him and Chet, but that was done quick, man. He again, I know people say Chet because they're winning, but Chet's winning because he's on a better team. If I put Chet on the Spurs and Wembanyama on OKC, they would not lose a step. Respectfully, all right? But again, let's make sure we give credit to where credit is due. Now let's talk about a little bit of playoffs, all right? Had to get that out the way. Let's talk about a little bit of playoffs. So, the Cleveland Cavaliers play the Boston Celtics tonight, and the Mavericks play the Thunder. Boston currently leads the series 1-0, and the Mavericks are currently down 1-0. Celtics are at home for game 2. All right, so here's the thing with this series. Jason Tatum's been kind of inconsistent. I don't know, man. Jason Tatum is kind of a weird player because they're such a good team, and he has these bad moments, but it kind of doesn't matter because they can win with or without him, even though he's a big part of their winning, right? So he has another strange game, 7 out of 19, 0 out of 5 from the three-point line, 5 assists. He does hit the glass really well and had 3 blocks, so I got to give credit where credit is due. This is my thing with Jason Tatum. I've been saying this for a while. If you go back to Game 7 versus the Sixers, he played the perfect game. I just feel like that he don't attack certain matchups. Like, if he got a small guy on him, sometimes he'll go to a turnaround jump shot. Yo, dog, 2-3 hard dribbles, get to the paint, you're going to foul me or I'm attacking the rim, right? And again, I just feel like sometimes he settles for bad shots. He just does. And again, I say all this, he'll probably come out and have 35 tonight and look like the best player in the world. But I don't know. He's been a little bit inconsistent in the playoffs, but he'll pick it up when he needs to. Fortunately for him, he's got really good teammates named Jaylen Brown, 32 points in game 1. Derek White is doing whatever he wants in game 2. Holiday finally kind of came out of an offensive slump in the Miami series, also chips in with 14, right? Also getting good bench production. Luke Kornet has 10 rebounds in 21 minutes. Pretty impressive. All right. So here's my thing. I don't think this – I think the series is a lot more competitive if Jared Allen is playing. I don't think Jared Allen is playing again tonight. This rib contusion is really bad. They're saying he's struggling to lift his hand over his shoulder, and he's having problem with movement, right? I'm not going to say what a rib contusion is to him. If he's injured, he's injured. We're going to respect that. But I did believe that with Jared Allen that there could have been a better dynamic of Cleveland challenging Boston, only because I thought they could dominate him on the glass and kind of score with him and kind of compete with him and kind of have a two-man, a little bit better job of protecting the rim. Again, it's kind of funny because even though Jalen Brown played out of his mind and Kristaps Porzingis is hurt, Derek White has really filled in another scoring role. And right, and Jalen Brown's being aggressive. When he's aggressive, not turning the ball over, he finished with one turnover, and that's huge for him, right? Only two assists, but again, he had one, a really good assist. But those turnovers are really big for Jalen Brown because sometimes he kind of dribbles in traffic, takes some crazy shots, but he's doing a good job of taking smart shots, being aggressive, and playing basketball the right way. Back to this game and back to the series. I want the series to be close. I do think Darius Garland will play a little bit better. He was 6 of 15, finished with 14 points. I do believe there's much improvement for there. Yo, Donovan Mitchell's been hooping, right? And again, it's going to be interesting because I think I don't think he wants to be there. I think he tried to be like as good of a soldier as possibly can. I think he wants to go to Miami. But again, he's playing really well, and he's doing his part, all right? Let's talk about other guys that have to step up. Hashtag know your role player. Evan Mobley, all right? Now, you say that a guy that averaged 17 and 13, yo, he stepped up good? Yeah, we could get a little bit more. Now, here's my thing. 17 and 13 is a really good game. Yo, I want my man to take more than 12 shots, all right? Isaac Okoro can't have almost the same amount of field goal attempts as Evan Mobley. That just can't happen, right? And he's got to be aggressive, man. I just feel like sometimes he settles for jump shots. He's got to get in there. The Celtics are a finesse team, and you can kind of finish strong over to some of those guys. Again, Al Horford, as good as a defender he is, he's old. He's really old, all right? Use some of your young energy and athleticism. Again, 13 rebounds is really good. Let me make sure I say that. But I just think he could have more of an impact, and I also think he could dominate a little bit more defensively, right? And the one thing is, with Jared Allen out, Evan Mobley can play the position he naturally plays, which is center, right? And I just think he's going to play better, man. Now, Darius Garland, to me, is going to be the swing player of this game tonight. He had 14 points on 6 out of 15 shooting, 2 out of 8 from the three-point line. Let's play a little bit of a game called adjusted numbers, right? Let's just say he's 4 out of 10 from the three-point line, 9 out of 15. That is easily 25 to 30 points, right? Now, 25 to 30 points, they lost by about 25 points. You still think they're going to get beat because they're just a better team, but I think it should be more competitive. Now, I would like a 30 minutes. I would love some small ball with – again, I don't think Isaac Okoro should play as much. Again, I know he plays his defense, but I would love the Evan Mobley, Caris LeVert, Max Strus and Darius Garland. I would love that lineup to get about 25 minutes. I'm hoping that Caris LeVert can get about 30, 32 minutes, man. And the reason why I say this, I just think that he can create some easier shots. And Donovan Mitchell is doing a lot. And again, I would like Darius Garland and Caris LeVert to kind of take off, help him with the load of scoring, all right? As far as Boston, I'm totally expecting the Jason Tatum bounce back tonight. Al Horford was 1 for 5 from the three-point line. I'm also expecting him to shoot better. He'll get the open shots off of that pick and pop. What else? And you know, they're a better team. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna play dumb. Celtics are gonna win this game. They're gonna win it handily. They're just a better team. They're firing on all cylinders. And again, once Jason Tatum plays better, it's a wrap. All right. Next game. Mavericks and Thunder. Okay, so OKC is a favored. Luka is clearly not Luka, but he does respond after bad games, right? And that's important to say because, well, he had a bad game. So, Luka Doncic in the first game had 19 points, 1 of 8 from the three-point line, and 6 out of 19 from the field goal line. Now, injured or not, He's got to play better, and he will play better. All right. I think he'll be more effective on the glass. I think he'll try to find a mid-range shot. And 1 for 8 from the three-point line is insane, man. So we'll see what happens. But here's the thing. It's not really Luka that's going to turn the series around for Dallas. What's going to turn the series around is Kyrie Irving, right? I think Luka will play better. He can have 25 or 30. But to me, Kyrie has got to be the guy as far as scoring and assisting. He can kind of have his will versus his team. Even without Luka, he has some big games. And I think he can have a big game even with Luka playing tonight. Now, if OKC has one flaw, it's what? Rebounding! Now, Daniel Gafford had 11 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds, 6 defensive rebounds, right? In 27 minutes. In 13 minutes, Derek Lively had, what, 4 rebounds? But that's how you beat him. You beat him on the glass. You rebound as a team and you beat him on the glass. They finish as a team with 39 rebounds to 52. So you got to win this rebounding game, right? And then we look at the rebounds for OKC. SGA with 9. Jalen Williams with 5. Chet Holmgren with 7. Like, they're just team rebounding, right? I think Daniel Gafford can absolutely go off tonight. I think he can have a 15-15 game. I think him and establishing that pick and roll and finishing strong at the rim can really give OKC some problems, right? Also, my man Josh Giddey got benched in the second half, but I don't know. I don't think they need Josh Giddey. They kind of like made their team where they can kind of play without him. So I don't know. I don't feel no ways about it. Isaiah Joe actually played pretty decent. I don't know. So this is my thing. This is my honest thoughts. I think Kyrie and Luka will both play better. These guys had 19 and 20 points respectively. SGA had a really good game, 8 out of 19, 11 out of 13 from the field goal line. Didn't get in foul trouble. I believe that Kyrie and Luka both play better tonight. I believe that they established inside. I believe this series gets tied 1-1. Give me the Dallas Mavericks, all right? All right. So today will be like the Thursday-Friday pod, so I'm not coming back tomorrow with a pod, but I am. Oops. I am going to talk about Friday's games. So Friday's games, the Knicks and the Pacers, it's already been reported that OG Anunoby is out with a hamstring injury. So Indiana's actually favored to win this game. It's a 7.5. That's kind of insane. Brunson's a little banged up. OG's out. And the Pacers are going home. Then I want to be honest with you about this series. In game 2-1-1 and game 2, the Pacers are good enough to compete in the series and win games. Rick Carlisle is crying about fouls and whether these fouls are happening or are not happening. Do you know what the bigger issue is? Playing time. Dog, there's 2 people that are giving the Celtics fits. Do you know those people? I can name it for you. You want to name them? Let's name them together. So the first guy, I want to make sure I get all these numbers right too. So the first guy is TJ McConnell, right? He has 12 assists and 10 points in 23 minutes, bro. Why is he playing? Dog, 23 minutes, he's got to play 35 minutes. I don't care. I know Andrew Nembhard is pretty good. I know he gave you 15 off the bench. Dog, TJ McConnell behind Haliburton can create tons of shots. He can play really good defense on Brunson. Okay, you want to start Nembhard, whatever. TJ McConnell's been your second best offensive player, right? He has to play 35 minutes a game. Now, at some point, you would hope that Pascal Siakam wakes up. This guy is trying to get a max contract, and he's doing a max nothing, right? Now, he had 9 rebounds, 2 assists. That ain't going to cut it, bro. That's boring. That's boring me. You're boring me. You got to give more. OG was giving you the business. And before my man got hurt in the hamstring, he was on pace for about 30, 35 points, right? You got to come the next game, and I think he will. I think he's going to have a big game 3. I think Haliburton is going to regress a little after having a really good game. I'm looking towards a Miles Turner bounce back game in game 3, and I'm looking towards a Pascal Siakam. So front court domination, all right? I know they're getting killed on the glass. They finished with 34 rebounds to 44. Only lost by 10. Not the biggest thing. Three-pointers, they have 14 to 15, about even. So I think the Pacers are going to win, and I think the front court is going to play better, but I wouldn't count the Knicks out of winning this game. Like, they have confidence. With OG out, Josh Hart steps into a bigger role, so we'll see what happens, man. We will see what happens. So, last game, and I'll get y'all out of here. All right, last game, Nuggets and Timberwolves on Friday. Minnesota's favored by 4.5. That's crazy. The Nuggets are the NBA champions. I know they're going to Minnesota. They got to give it. They're emptying the clip. So I'm expecting a Nikolai Jokic just game, legendary game. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. They've done some stuff that I haven't seen. Now, I'm 100% honest with y'all. They've been practicing this defensive style and this philosophy for about a year. With all that being said, they're getting away with a lot of fouls, all right? Defense is cool. They're getting away with a lot of fouls. We'll see if those fouls continue to happen. Now, they're going home. They're getting some home cooking, so that's not going to be good. But I think that Denver, they got to really put an emphasis on these fouls. Again, they're getting away with stuff. They are playing phenomenal physical defense, but, yo, they're getting away with some fouls. So it'll be interesting to see what that whistle does early. I also have to give Minnesota a ton of credit because they have really made life hard for Jokic. He's been turning over the ball. They kind of been, you know, being aggressive with him on entry passes, which is kind of something I've never seen before. Cringe Finch is a genius. Everybody needs to shut up because they have a chance to do something special. Now, I said before the series, I actually didn't get a chance to preview the series. I'm not going to lie. But I said last year that Minnesota was a team that is built, their roster is built to beat Denver. They have two bigs. They have actually a third big, so three in rotation. The bigs can shoot, and they have a player that Denver can't do nothing with. So you ask yourself, how can Denver win? Well, there's a guy named Jamal Murray, right? He's getting hounded by Jalen McDaniels. Hounded! All right? Show up and show out, man. Show up and show out, man. Be aggressive. Score early. You know, they're all over him, so I don't know. Maybe some... I don't know. I think they're going to play faster. I think Jokic is going to look for a shot early. They're not doing a big one doubling them, but they're kind of digging at him a little bit. So, you know, play faster. They got to stop turning over the ball. A lot of easy points was by Minnesota on fast breaks. As far as Anthony Edwards, it's interesting. So if he posts up after the second dribble, I'm not going to double team the post up turnaround shots. But if he's driving, we got to make life a little bit hard for him. I haven't seen the resistance be good enough. So the resistance have to be good enough. And then Denver has to up their physicality. Minnesota is taking it to them in a physical standpoint. They're pushing them around. They're telling them they're going to push them around, and they're pushing them some more, right? So Denver's got to do something. They got to do something, all right? Will they do something? I'm going to be honest with y'all. There's no way the NBA lets this team get swept, right? I do believe that the Nuggets are going to win game 3, but something crazy is going to have to happen. Jamal Murray's going to have to score 30 points because I think Jokic can get 30, but that don't matter. And the second guy, they really did a good job of slowing down Jamal Murray, but I think he's going to go off in game 3. Couple of news and notes, and I will get y'all out of here. Zach Lowe has an article today. I'll read that on Saturday. I will have another pod to make up for this weekend. We'll see when I can get that in. Pacers filing a complaint for over 78 calls at MSG. That's crazy. Here we go. So the Charles Lee agrees to a 4-year deal as the Hornets head coach. Congratulations to him. I don't know a lot about Charles Lee, so let's read this together. Boston Celtics lead assistant Charles Lee has agreed to a 4-year contract to become the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. Lee, 39, has risen to one of the league's most accomplished assistant coaches, now lands with new executive and president of basketball operations in Charlotte. To Roberto, Lee and Patterson begin their careers together with the Atlanta Hawks. Lee will complete the Celtics playoff run before moving over to join the Hornets. Before joining Boston, he was a top assistant under Joe Mazzulla last summer. He spent 5 years under two-time Coach of the Year Mike Budd in part of Milwaukee's championship run. He replaces Steve Clifford, who stepped down at the end of last season. They don't really say a lot about him. They see his coaching career. So I'm not going to lie to you and act like I know a lot about him. But hopefully he brings something in, you know, if anything they're going to need is structure, organization, and defense. All right? Somebody's got to start playing some defense. And LaMelo Ball's got to be healthy. But congratulations to him. Last article, last topic, last discussion, and I'll get you out of here. So Austin Rivers, I want to be fair with my words. Austin Rivers was an average NBA player, was a superstar high school player, but you know, he's an accomplished athlete, right? I feel like that he's been kind of making wave notes, right? And what I mean by that is saying something that you know is going to garnish a big reaction. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Colin Cowherd is one of the biggest guys at that. And nothing. If you want to grow your channel, you're going to have to say something to make people say, "What? What are you talking about?" So he says recently that 30 NBA players could make the NFL. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think one or two NBA players can make the NFL. I don't think it's even close. So here's the thing. I think it's really hard to play basketball. I think anybody can casually play basketball, but you're talking about at a professional level in the NBA. I don't think there is any NFL player that can make the NBA. I think there's a better chance that maybe one or two players could make a roster. I don't know if they'd be good, they can make a roster. All right. A lot of NBA players tried playing football and it was like, nah. All right. So you got to respect the sports. The dynamics are different in both sports. Football ain't no joke, man. All right. Football, getting hit in football is just different. All right. Listen, they call fouls if you get hit in basketball. If you're getting hit in football, that's a good play. All right. And you might get a fumble. So I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like when Austin Rivers says things, he knows he's going to get a certain reaction. Like, even Randy Moss was commenting for it, and there was, like, a lot of veteran NFL players. They had a lot of say. A lot of people got roused up by it. I just thought it was interesting. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I respect him because he's smart. You're saying something that you know going to garnish a reaction. But we'll keep our eye on Mr. Austin Rivers and see a pattern of him, the things he says. So, I missed the last episode of LeBron and JJ Redick's podcast, so I will not comment on it. I will come back on sometime before Sunday, and I will talk about LeBron and JJ Redick's podcast, because LeBron opened up about the playoffs in Denver, and I want to talk about that, all right? Please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend and tell another friend and tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast, hashtag KNOWYAROLEPLAYER. I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace.